we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
To the Lord. That's how you're supposed to read your newspaper. That's how you're supposed to look at the news. News of cities burning. That means you need to hit your knees. That's what that means. Don't join the political bandwagon mess. That gets us nowhere. Somebody say amen. It's true. And so when you see, especially in places where we have close contact, we could right now hear from Cuba and hear the latest going on there on the ground. So we need to be in prayer every time we see something happening in the news. We're not like normal people. We're God's peculiar people. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Yeah.
Welcome to everybody in the room. And then, of course, welcome to everybody that's online. If you can, we're going to go over here. I'm going to preach in a moment, but I need that camera to follow me over here. But first, we're going to sing a song. And I want you to stand on your feet. Help me sing this song. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, oh, without him, I'd surely fail. Oh, without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Clap your hands for the Lord as you're seated. Amen. Oh, Charles, you make sure Kay knows that we sang an Elvis song tonight. I know he put that on a recording. She probably heard it back there. We probably have to pick her up off the floor right now. That's Kay. She's a big Elvis fan, if you didn't know. Welcome, everybody, to Redemption Church. We're in the first week of our sermon series. It's called With Out. Everybody say without.
Without.
We're in this first week of the sermon series. Have you ever heard somebody use the phrase doing without?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that? What do you think that means? It means that somehow life is lacking. Somehow life is unfulfilled. Somehow life is less than optimal. Am I on the right target? Do I understand the phrase doing without? If we lack certain things in life, we seem to be doing without. You've got some friends, you look at what they've got going on in their life, and you actually have the guts at one point to tell them, hey, listen, you're really doing without. You could be doing so much better. I want to tell you that doing without, it can be true in our physical lives, and it can be true in our spiritual lives. Don't believe me? Let's talk about phones. Anybody talking about cell phones? You spend way too much time thinking about your cell phones these days, don't you? If you don't have a mobile phone, you're probably doing without a little bit. Would you agree? That's kind of like in our culture. Yeah, absolutely. How could you possibly make it without a phone? How could you do it? My kids right now are trying to talk me into getting them phones every time we turn around. How can you make it without a phone? But let's get real here. We're not just talking about any kind of phone. We're not talking about a flip phone. I have a friend for a long time used a flip phone. And everybody at the staff meeting at the church said, bro, what are you doing with that flip phone? Not just a phone, because not just any phone will work. Unless it is a smart phone. I don't know why I rolled my R's. I thought it would sound sophisticated. It sounded interesting. Unless it's a smartphone, you'll probably feel like you're going without. If my kids asked for a phone and I handed them an old flip phone, that would not go well. We would probably need to film that. We're living in the day and age where it is so sad when all a phone does is make a phone call. If a phone only makes a phone call, everybody's like, what? How are you living? You're doing without. You mean it only makes phone calls? My goodness. All right. Keep it down, sir. All right. Not just a phone, but a certain model of phone is what we also think about. You've got your iPhone, you got your Samsung Galaxy, you've got a phone called a OnePlus. I don't know if you know about that one, but that one's really expensive. I mean, everything I just mentioned, pretty much over $1,000 when it's brand new. I mean, it's like, whoa. And there's people that are like, oh, I am doing without unless I have that brand name. That name brand, it really matters. You are doing without if you have less than an iPhone. There are people right now that the number one thing they're thinking about is my phone is not fill in the blank. And they're like, I am doing without. I deserve so much better than this. How about a car? A car, I think most of you agree that if you don't have a car, in many ways, you are doing without. If you have got to keep it down. Stop. I think most of you would agree that if you don't have a car, you would feel like you are doing without. And all you have to do is go a day without a car and you will need that cell phone because you'll be calling your friends for a ride. But we would also agree it's not just any car, right? Not a junker car. There are certain amenities in our cars we have grown accustomed to. To drive a car without a specific amenity, we would consider that very quickly doing without. There are these remote key fobs that can auto start your car. Come on, somebody admit it. If you look for that in your next car, right? I look for that one that opens side doors to a minivan. That is so important. It saves you so much hassle letting your kids out. At school, you can just get out of this car, click the button and let him go. A backup camera has become a big thing. If you don't have a backup camera, you're doing without. A Bluetooth to connect to that fancy phone we just talked about. Not the flip one, but the fancy one. How about this one? Air conditioning. Yeah. Oh, they're clapping at church over that one. Amen. These altars are open. In a minute, Bennett, not yet. But this Texas heat, oh, you are doing without if you use that old timey air conditioner where you're putting down your window, right? Going further, some of us care about the model of our car. We care about the hood ornament. There are people that will be caught in no less than a Mercedes, a Jaguar, or a Dodge Ram pickup truck. There are things in our lives that if we lack them, we will be doing without. Today and over the next few weeks, we will be talking about scriptural warnings of trying to live without. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Here is an outline of our series. I hope you make plans to be here every week. In week two, we're going to talk about without faith. In week three, we're going to be talking about without knowledge. In week four, we're going to be talking about without holiness. Week five, we're going to be talking about without excuse. All of these withouts are so important. God's word is there, so you do not go without. I want to tell you that you don't have to live without. Yet, many people do just that. They live without. They either don't know that they are lacking. That's one option. Perhaps they don't know. Or they choose to lack certain things. And I want you to ask yourself today, which one are you? Who are you? And have you been living without? Peter warns us about living without. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed by the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. There is an empty way of life. Anybody ever experience an empty way of life? It's a life without fulfillment. It's a life without meaning. It's a life that is hollow. It's a life that is lacking. And 1 Peter warns us that this empty way of life can be handed down generationally. Many of us were handed down empty ways of living. And you had to find some of those things in your life and remove them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are things your mom and dad didn't know better. They just taught you an empty way of life. And maybe it wasn't your mom and dad. Maybe it was the culture around us that taught us empty ways of living. I want to tell you, unless we become serious about the Word of God, we will be handing down to the next generation an empty way of life. A life that is without. There are people in this room right now that you have a generation following after you. You have grandchildren. You have children. You have nephews and nieces. You have friends that have kids. You have a generation all around you. And you are responsible for speaking into their life. Will you speak into their life something empty? Will you speak into their life something full? Today I want to talk to you about what a life without Jesus looks like. That's what I want to talk about on this first week of Without. I want to talk to you about without Jesus. Somebody say without Jesus.
Without
Jesus. Jesus makes the boldest declarations about trying to do life without him. Yeah. Bold, man. Check out what he says. John chapter 15, verse 5. This is our scripture memory verse for this month. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Reading on to verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There is a bunch in that passage. But I want to bring you back to the words Jesus says. He says, apart from me. Without me, if you lack me, you can do, what does it say? Nothing. Jesus is not being hyperbolic. Jesus is not exaggerating. Jesus is not bragging falsely upon his own self. Jesus came to testify to the truth. Is that what he said? Yes, more than once in your Bible, he says, I came to testify to the truth. Everything he says is true. He never lied. He didn't even have a lie of exaggeration, not even a little teensy white lie, none of it. Everything he spoke was true because he is the embodiment of truth. He also said that. Jesus says, You can do nothing without him. Now, y'all listen to me. Let's get a little transparent. Let's get a little real here. I have some problems with this verse personally. I have worked on this verse for more than a few years. This has been a verse problem for me. You ever have a read the Bible and go, whoa, that's a little tough. Whoa, I'm going to have to change in order for this verse to be true. Anybody ever have that verse in the Bible? There's more than one, right? Me and Lupita are the only ones raising our hands. Anybody, come on. Hey, if you haven't obeyed all the Bible, you are not behind anyone but Jesus. He's the only one that's obeyed all of the Bible. We're working on it. Look at somebody, say, hey, I'm working on it. My gosh. And he's still working on me. Look at somebody else, say that. He's still working on me. Now, is it okay with you if I work a little bit through my problem out loud with you today, y'all? Is that all right? Okay. Because I know y'all have no problem with this verse, but you struggle a little bit. We've got to work on it. Without Jesus equals nothing. Can you say that with me? Without Jesus equals nothing. The scripture says clearly, without Jesus, you can do nothing. When I read that, it echoes that nothing, 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 nothing. Yet here is how my own flawed human logic wants to read that verse. I so badly in my flesh, in my humanity, want to read that verse like this. Without Jesus, I won't do as good. That's how I want it to read. You know, without me, you won't just quite do as good. Without me, you won't quite hit the top rung of that ladder. Without me, you know, kid, you got some improvements to do. And without me, you know, you won't hit all the improvements. You won't ever be the gold medalist. Maybe you'll just be the bronze or something. That's kind of how my brain wants that verse to read. God usually doesn't take my advice. Usually. Never. So what is this? This thing I'm throwing out here is the doing without idea all over again. You would be wrong to think of Jesus as you would your choice of smartphone. You wanted an iPhone and you have something lesser than an iPhone. It's a G phone or something. It's like something on Wish that you bought. But it doesn't do all that the iPhone does, but at least it does some of it. You know, its battery only lasts 20 minutes, and somehow the texting keyboard lacks Q's and R's. But, you know, it won't download a single app, but it will make a phone call to Bangladesh. All right. That is not anything like what Jesus just said. He didn't say, without me, you will have a second-rate life. No, he says, without me, you can do
nothing.
You'd be wrong to think of Jesus like your choice of car. You wanted a top-of-the-line car right off the showroom floor. But at least you have this duct-taped-together 1992 Geo Metro, which continues to go if you have someone help you push it. But that is not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say you would have some clunker of an automobile that kind of works. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We like to think that Jesus is best, right? And that's not wrong. Jesus is best. But it is also not what Jesus said. We like to think that a life with Jesus is best. And that is not wrong. But that, my friends, is also not what Jesus said. Because you can have a best, and then you can have not as good, kind of good, all the way down. You ever check out Yelp to figure out where to go eat? It's like, well, this one's really good, but it says $5 signs for some reason. I don't know. I think it means it's $5. That is not what that means, friends. That is, when you take a girl on a date, I'm going to tell you, Yelp has that $5 sign, Alex. That does not mean it's $5. That means it's the most expensive place. I'm trying to prepare up the next generation. Train them up. Don't do the empty hollow ways of life. Instead, we're like, well, we got kids. Wonder what this $1 star place does. And it's like, whoa, it's worth every bit of that one star vote. What am I saying? Without Jesus, it equals nothing. Jesus said without him, nothing. That is a bold statement. I would be willing to say that no one in this room could make that statement. Nobody online could make that statement. No one in any world office, in any penthouse suite, in any corner office on a skyscraper in a large city. No one could make that bold statement other than our Jesus. Without me, nothing. What does that mean? It means that there is not a second best alternative. It's Jesus or nothing. You can't say, well, I won't choose Jesus, but I'll choose, you know, I'll choose Buddha. Sorry out there, Buddha, Buddhists, but that's nothing. You can't choose Muhammad. That's nothing. You can't choose Joseph Smith. That's nothing. You can't choose whatever it is, whatever thought leader it is that you want to follow in life. It is not a second best alternative. There is no second best alternative, according to Jesus. Without him, nothing. There is no generic knockoff product that you can substitute. I remember going shopping with my mom as a kid, and you had all the really good products were child high. Like right there, all the good cereals are right there with all the sugar and all the toys. But mom was able to reach up higher, and there was a box. It was white. The box was completely white and had like a weird band around it. And it's like they had all these white boxes. Anybody remember this? Now they have worked on making the generic brands look a little bit more produced, right? Marketed. Back then, it was like, we got a white box full of flakes. You want it? What toys come in this one? Oh, son, the joy of opening. This bag full of flakes. Wee, daddy, this is so good. There is no generic knockoff product that you can substitute. Because without Jesus, there's nothing. There is only Jesus, and there is nothing else. Am I in a church that believes that today? Oh, when we sing about Jesus, it gets me excited because I know that there's no other place for me to turn. When we pray, we make sure that we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus because we know that no other name can save, no other name can heal. Oh, I love to preach about Jesus. Can I tell you, I talk to some preachers, I talk to some young preachers, and I always give them the same advice. I say, no matter what you preach, don't forget your secret sauce. They always ask, what's your secret sauce? And I say, your secret sauce isn't a what, it's a who. Right? Every sermon needs Jesus in it.
Yes.
Every sermon, I don't care what you preach, preacher, you end with Jesus. You give him a big dose of the secret sauce. Because if Jesus ain't in it, it's nothing anyway. I want to tell you today that Jesus is not a life hack. Somebody say life hack.
Life hack.
Do you know what a life hack is? You probably kind of know what a life hack is. A life hack is a technique or strategy to improve your day, usually through efficiency. And so they've got life hacks. I remember I just searched life hacks, and these are the first four to come up. I'm going to I'm going to explain them to you. One of them is what I call a drink holder. It says, here's a drink holder idea. It's an old shoe put in the bottom of your car. So you're driving here and there's a shoe right there and you put the drink in the shoe. And they're like, life hack, running out of drink holders in your car. Use that old shoe, that old boot. Life hack. Somebody can go try that. You better not. Alex, do not try that. When you pick up that girl to go on that date, if she looks over and sees a beverage in an old boot, it's going to be problems. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
One of them was keys and nail polish. You have trouble figuring out your old key? You can go put nail polish on your keys. I thought that one was actually pretty good. I don't own any nail polish, but Sarah does. I might have her do it for me. All right. How about this one? A shoe holder for cleaning products. You go to the dollar store, they have these shoe holders. They're plastic and they look like they'll fall apart real easy. But you could put cleaning products in them, put it on the back of a door. It's a pretty good idea. And this is one that I just want to tell you is a lie from Satan. This next one. Rubber bands for stripped screws. You've got these screws you're driving in and they strip, so the drill just turns, the screwdriver just turns, and they say, all you got to do is take a little rubber band and put it over it, and then try to drill it in, and it'll go in perfectly. Wrong. Lie. Lie. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. My gosh. I'm going to tell you today that some life hacks may really work, and some life hacks just, you need to just keep scrolling on your Facebook. But I want to tell you today that Jesus is not a life hack. Jesus is not a strategy to make your life incrementally better. Jesus is not a slight improvement. That's not what he is. Jesus is not a life hack. Jesus is life. He is life itself. There are so many scriptures that say this. Let's look at some. John 14 and 6. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 6 and 53. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. John 10 and 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Somebody say, Jesus is life.
Jesus is life.
Jesus is not a slightly better life.
Right.
He is life. Religion often treats Jesus like a life hack. I've heard it said, working in ministry, different churches over the years, I've heard, well, you know, if they just come to church, their life would just, you know, get better. It would be better. It would be, you know, it'd be good. It'd be good. Well, the problem is they're not coming to church, and you know, it's all those things. People sometimes treating church like a way to become slightly better. In fact, a lot of the preaching in our generation has really kind of been like life hack versus the gospel. It's like, let's tell you something that's, you know, make your parenting a little bit better. And here, let's tell you something to help you with your finances a little better. And here's some tricks and here's some tips and here's some advice. And here's a little bit of wisdom there and use that. Listen, I'm all, yeah, use a rubber band on your marriage and on your, no. I'm telling you, the church is not a life hack place. And Jesus Christ is not a life hack. He is the very source of life.
Amen.
Without Jesus, nothing. Without Jesus, you won't just do a little worse. That's the other side of it. You know, without Jesus, his life just went down a little bit. Without Jesus, you know, he was a little bit unhappier. Without Jesus, you know, his health was a little bit more diminished. Without Jesus, he missed out on some of the blessings. Without Jesus. No, without Jesus, you can do nothing. It's all or nothing. It is Jesus and all of Jesus, or it is nothing. Now, here's a little bit why I have a problem. Here's where I have to work through this. I have to pray through this. I have to search Scripture. I have to choose Scripture over the thoughts I think. Because these are some of the thoughts I think. Here they are. How can this be? That's what I think. I've honestly wondered this very question. How can this be? Jesus, without you, nothing. How can Jesus say he is life? And without him, we are not alive. I see people that don't believe in Jesus, and they're alive. I see people who deny who Jesus is, and they remain alive. How can Jesus say that he is life? Before I received him, I was breathing. I was thinking. I had a little thunka thunka in my heart. I was alive. Jesus, how can you say this? How can this be? Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Well, how can that be? I'm certain I can name some highly successful people who are atheists. I know we can all think of people who have climbed the ladder of success in their lives, yet they have never professed faith in Jesus. We can name those people, can't we? Yes, we can. How can Jesus say, without him, you can do nothing? These are the kind of thoughts I have. So let's look back at our verse. Let's look at it. John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So this is how I think through it. Jesus is the vine, right? And you are one of the branches. Branches have to be connected to the vine. The life in the vine flows to the branches. The life in Jesus Christ needs to flow into us. If there is no vine, there are no branches. If there is no source of life, then there is no life. Life does not flow from the branches to the vine. You get this for a moment. There is nothing you can give Jesus that he relies on, that he gets energy from. When you reach into your pocket and you pull out a dollar and you give it to the Lord doesn't go, "I was running short this week." He does not do that, because the branch does not supply to the vine. The vine supplies to the branch. You got it all wrong if you come into worship and you say, "I'm going to worship in such a way that I reach heaven with my praise, and he's going to like me more, and he's going to then love me because I sang to him, and then blessings going to flow." No, it doesn't work that way. No. The branches do not supply the vine. The vine supplies the branches. And if you want to see real worship, you start getting a hold of the supply that comes from the vine, and you won't be worshiping to get something. You'll worship because you have everything you need straight from the vine. Without Jesus, nothing. Jesus Christ is that source of life. Do you agree?
Yes.
The Bible tells us that he is the creator of all things. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says that. We are not the creator. We are the created. The vine, the branches. We the created could do nothing except a creator created us. This is like a duh statement. Agreed? Good. Took me all week to think of it. Y'all are insulting. John chapter 1 verse 3 says this. Through him, Jesus, the Word, the one who is God. Through him all things were made. Without him. What does it say? Without him. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Without Jesus, nothing. It would be the height of vanity for the branches to brag about their production of the fruit and at the same time deny the presence of the vine. Look at us. Look at all our fruit. Look at what we're doing. And meanwhile, there is no God. Meanwhile, we deny his existence. Meanwhile, we deny that he is with us and breathing life into us, and that he created us. That's the height of vanity. Does that exist in our world today?
Yeah.
Oh, you bet it believes. It's called humanism. It is called atheism. That is exactly what happens when we do not honor the source of life.
Yeah.
Branches, you need to honor the source of life that comes from the vine. That's why we worship. That's why we surrender. That's why we read our word. That is why we pray. That is why today we're going to come to this altar today, because we are going to honor the source in our life. Do you have a source in your life? If your source in your life is you, I feel bad for you. And I love you, right? You're cool people. But you cannot be your own source. You want to live a frustrating life? Try to be your own source. Whoa, it's bad. And it would be the height of vanity. Jesus is correct. Without him, we can do nothing. You could do nothing without a creator. You could do nothing except that he breathed the breath of life into us. You could do nothing except he is the source of all things. Everything made by him, before him, and without him, nothing. John 15 and 6, it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and they're thrown where? Into the fire and burn. Without the vine, Jesus Christ, the branches. The branches with whatever they're able to produce. If they're able to produce any worldly fruit, everything that's produced is picked up with that branch and it is thrown to the fire. And it will wither. They will be thrown into the fire. There will be nothing left of them. Tell me, what does that fire sound like to you? It sounds like hell. I want to tell you today that only what you do in Christ will last. Only what you do in him, through him, by him,
yes,
from that life source that is in the vine, only what you do in him will last. Sometimes we look at the celebrity, the billionaire, the successful, the beautiful, and we usually feel great compared to them. No, we usually feel inadequate compared to them. We think about their bank account. We think about what they drive. We think about what they live. We think about their awards. We think about how good they look. And we feel inadequate. I want to tell you, you are not alone in feeling this way. The psalmist wrote this, my feet almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the unrighteous. Psalm 73. This is a worshiper here. This is the psalmist. This is the worship leader here. This is a guy working in the very presence of the Lord. And he says, you know what? I almost gave up. I almost slipped. I almost went the wrong direction in life when I thought about the prosperity of somebody who doesn't even love God. Sometimes your work for Christ can seem meager. Your own service and giving never makes the news reports. You know, we do amazing things around here. It's never made an edition of the news. Be it in the paper, be it online, be it on the television. No, we've opened up clinics in the world that help heal people. We've helped plant churches. We have fed people in the middle of pandemics. When there is an earthquake, we don't wait on a government to go. We go ahead. You in this room do just very that. But you can clap for that. Praise God for it. We don't do it for the glory of men. And it's a good thing. Because we would never do it. Because I've never seen any of our works for the Lord and works for people be praised like I see a lot of the other works in this world. Your efforts as a Christian are not commemorated with a statue or a ribbon cutting. Let me make sure. Anybody ever have a statue commemorated to them because they taught a Bible study? Anyone? Because they drove someone to church? No one? Because they took someone out to eat? No? No, never. I want to tell you that really can be frustrating when it seems like everyone around you is getting accolades, and here you are, you're doing all this work and nothing. But I want to encourage you today, what you do in Christ will last. It will last. Oh, to the single mom who honors Christ and works hard to raise her children, you are doing a work that will last. To the worker and businessman who honors Jesus Christ and refuses to lower a standard of honesty in a world gone craziness with dishonesty and corruption, I want to tell you the work that you're doing in Christ, it will not wither, it will not be thrown into the fire. Right. To the follower of Christ who is focused on the true treasure of heaven and working to read their Bible while everyone else is looking to get a glamour shot put on Instagram, I want to tell you, you are not inadequate. You are not less than. To the generous person who honors God with their giving, your treasure really is being stored up for you in a place called heaven where the moth and the vermin cannot destroy them. To the work you are doing in Christ is not to be compared with the works of this world. The works of this world will wither and be thrown into the fire because without Christ, we can do nothing. I want to tell you today, do not stand on judgment day without Christ. Do not stand on a day where a trumpet sounds and you are ushered into the very presence of God, and the very Lord of glory is upon a throne. On that day, you do not want to stand without Christ, because you will have nothing without Him. Can I also tell you, today, don't stand without Christ today. We always talk about that day the trumpet sounds. I'm all for it, yes, but don't wait. Don't pass up today. Have Jesus Christ today. You want to make something of today? Get Jesus today. Don't go a day without Him. Are you tired of nothing? Get Jesus in your life today. Do it today. Only what you do in Christ will last. Without Jesus, nothing. But what about with Jesus? Can we talk about that for a second? Anybody want to preach with the preacher for a moment? Can anyone think of a promise of life that contains Jesus? Does the Bible tell us any wonderful promises about a life with the Lord Jesus Christ? How about this one? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. How about Romans 8:37 that says, we are more than conquerors through His love for us. When we have His love with us, we are more than conquerors. With Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. With Jesus, we have eternal life. Yeah. With Jesus, we have an advocate with the Father. With Jesus, we have the way. We have the truth, and we have the life. With Jesus, we have the power to overcome every obstacle and every enemy, even the death, even the grave, even the hell that the Satan will be thrown into one day. You have power over it with Jesus Christ. Are you living with Jesus? Are you living with Him? Religious traditions won't bring you this life. Oh. Only Jesus will bring you this life. Oh, I'm worried about the day someone stands before the Lord on that judgment seat. And they never lived a life with Him, but they lived a life with religious tradition. They lived a life with a denomination. They lived a life where they could check off that they went to church on Sunday. I want to tell you, religious transition, no denomination, coming to a church service cannot bring you this life. Only Jesus Christ can bring you this life. People in your Bible became desperate when they realized the life they could have with Jesus. When they realized what they could have with him, and they looked at their life and saw what it was like without him, oh, they got drastic. There was a man named Zacchaeus, climbed into a tree just to see him. A group of lepers, they knew they weren't supposed to. They were supposed to stay far away. But instead, they walked up to him. They approached him and they asked him to be with them and heal them. A Samaritan woman, she knew she had no business being near this man, Jesus Christ. But she came to him. She begged him. She begged him to heal her daughter. A woman with an issue of blood. She had been looking for a healer for so many years. And on this day, she hears about Jesus. She says, I'm going to try Jesus. And says she pushed through the crowd. In her weak and sickened state, she was desperate. She reached out. She was healed when she touched the hem of his garment. A thief on the cross pleaded, remember me. He said that even though a few minutes earlier, he was hurling insults at this Jesus Christ. He said that even though he had no business saying any of the sort. He had never earned a moment with the king ever. And yet, there he is by the grace of God with the very King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. And with desperation, with a heaving in his lungs as he is probably dying, he says, remember me, King, when you come into your kingdom. Blind Bartimaeus always has a special place in my heart. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the side of the road. He could not see Jesus coming, but he heard the crowd. And when he heard the crowd, he went to hollering. He went to screaming. He went to yelling. Did he cuss and say, God, blankety blank, because I'm blind? Did he say, curse everyone else because they can see and I can't see him? No. Then he cried out with a loud voice. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. Oh, he was so desperate. You know, Will, people asked him to shut up. People asked him to be quiet. But he got even louder. He refused to stop until Jesus came up to him. And he began to see. Oh, with him. Can I tell you, we need to get a little desperate to have Jesus with us. There, if without him, nothing. Is there a nothing area in your life? Can I suggest to you that that is an area you need Jesus Christ to come into that area? And you need to be a little bit like blind Bartimaeus today. You need to be like a woman willing to push through the crowd today. You need to be like a Zacchaeus who's willing to climb up and look like a fool today just to get with Jesus Christ. Oh, that there would be a desperation in our hearts. Everyone listening online, that you would feel a desperation begin to well up in you. Yes, I do need Jesus, and I don't need him just one day when he calls me home. I need him today. I need him now. I need his word now. I've been separated from this vine. I need to be in the vine. And I need all the life of the vine flowing into me. I need all the vine life flowing into my family, into my home, into my worry, into my secret sin. I need it to flow into my doubt. I need it to flow into my questions. I need all of Jesus. And I need him today. Oh, that we would not have that complacency in our life, that we would have that desperation. I can't ever see where Jesus moved during complacency in Scripture. There's a place where he goes to his hometown. They're like, ah, isn't that the carpenter's boy? There's a story about a man named King Agrippa. He hears the gospel, but he has a very complacent response. He says, you know what, Paul? I'm going to send for you another time. You almost persuaded me today. At a more convenient season, I'll send for you again. He was complacent. Sadly, we don't have a scripture in the Bible where a better season ever came for King Agrippa. I want to tell you that desperation is something that you need in your heart, because the vine is everything. There is something, you know, guys, I like plants. Y'all got to forgive me for liking plants so much. But there is something amazing about a plant that's just holding on by even like just a thread. It will hold on for everything it has, because it knows everything in it has not come from its own self. It's come from the vine. It will reach out. It will do everything it can to stay connected to the life source. You came to church today, but did you come connect with the life source? You came and you sang some songs. That's awesome. But did you connect with the life source? You heard a sermon. I hope it didn't bore you, but I hope more than that, you connected with the life source. We're going to pray today. I hope that you'll bring more than just a little list of things that you want Jesus to take care of, a honey-do list for God if he has time. No, I hope you connect to that life source, and I hope you don't let anything ever pull you away from that life source. I want to tell you, the life of the vine must flow into the branches. Do you know how the branches produce fruit? It's because there is a life source. There is a sap that literally flows from the source of a tree into those branches, and then it is there in those branches where fruitfulness happens. I want to tell you, you can be fruitful, but not without Jesus. And if you are not fruitful today, if that hits you in the heart, you go, I don't know if I'm fruitful. It's not because you aren't good enough. It's not about that. It's not because you haven't been able to defeat all your sin problems. It's not even about that. It is about your connection to the vine. Redemption Church, do we want to be a fruitful church? We got to be connected to the vine. The life of the vine. Oh, we're not just talking about some ordinary house plan, are we? We're talking about Jesus Christ, the very life that was in him. When that woman with the issue of blood touched him, he says, who touched me? I felt virtue leave me. He says, I felt some of me leave me and go into someone else, because they touched me in faith. Who was it? Who was it? He wanted to find them. He wanted to see them. He wanted to see the look in their eyes. Oh, is the life of Jesus flowing in you? Oh, freely flowing? Or is it just
intro
trickling?
Two,
do you
three,
only get a little
four.
Dose every Sunday, every 7 days, every so often? Is it just a little bit of prayer and a little bit of praise that's causing
first
a little flow of that? Or do you have access to all that Jesus is? I want to tell you, you do. You have access to all that he is. He is not withholding any part of his virtue from us today. I want what was flowing inside Jesus to flow inside of me. I want it to flow out of the way I talk, the way I believe, the way I think, the way I act, the way I walk, the way I act when it's really bad, and the way I act when it's really good. At all times, I want the life of Jesus flowing in me. I want the life of Jesus flowing in my ministry. I want the life of Jesus to flow in this altar today. It's all I've prayed for this week. It's all I've hoped for. I don't care what you think about my preaching ability. I care about the flow of the life source of all life flowing into your life today. Can I ask you, as we're drawing close to a close, I want to ask you, what good is Christianity if the life of our Savior is not flowing within us? What good is a worship service if we are without Jesus in this place when we so desperately need Him? What are we without Jesus Christ showing up and showing us His power and showing us His grace, revealing Himself to us? Really, what are we doing if that's not the case? Jesus, we want You. I am done living without You. I'm done going a day without You. Healing needs to flow in this place today. What kind of healing? You need to be healed. You listen to me. You need to be healed. Not only that, you need that same healing to flow out of you. You need to be a bold Christian, like a Book of Acts Christian, that you lay hands on the sick and that healing power flows out of you. And if that makes you nervous, I don't know why. Jesus said that would be you. Jesus said that you would do greater things by His Spirit. Lord, let it happen. Forgiveness needs to be in this place today. Forgiveness needs to flow. You need to be forgiven. You need the forgiving power of Jesus to flow in your life. But not just that. You also need that you are so connected with Him that forgiveness now flows out of you to other people. And people you've held a grudge for many years needs to be forgiven. That needs to happen. It happens when we're connected with the vine, Jesus Christ. Power needs to flow. You need the power that resided in Jesus Christ. You need it to reside in you. If you don't have that power in you today, it is everything Jesus went to the cross for. It is everything that Jesus ascended for. It is everything that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in the world to do. You need it. With Him, you can have it. You need that power flowing into your daily life. When a problem comes upon the scene, that power that flows from Jesus Christ flows through you. With Him, you can do all of this. But without Him, nothing. Are you tired of nothing today? Are you tired of nothing? These altars are open right now. Come on.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.